Namaste Vasudevaya. Narayana Namaskritya. Aram Chaivam Narutamam. Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirate. Nasta Preshu Vadesu. Icham Bhagavata Sevya. Bhagavati Uttama Sloke. Bhakti Bhavati Naistike. Srila Prabhupada gave a list of days that were considered most important in the year. And on that list, there was Janmashtami and, of course, Gurpurnim, Sringa Chaturdasi, Nityananda's appearance day. And also Ram Navami was on that list as one of the most important days. Because it is said that, actually, Lord Ramachandra is almost Krishna. In the sense that there are many incarnations of the Lord. So many various incarnations of the Lord appear. But the mercy that is displayed in the different incarnations is not necessarily the same. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita is sort of analyzing that carefully. When Narada Muni is looking for the greatest devotee, he is little by little going from one devotee to another. And at one point he says to, Prahlad, you are the greatest devotee because you got the most mercy of the Lord. And then Prahlad is saying, well, I didn't get most mercy of the Lord because... Consider like this, is that the Lord appeared personally, certainly He did, to save me, and that was His causeless mercy. But then again, He only stayed for a very short time. But if you consider Lord Ramachandra, He spent a lot of time with all His devotees. Therefore, those devotees are more fortunate. Therefore, Hanuman is more fortunate. So he's actually got more mercy of the Lord. And then Narada went to Hanuman. So in this way, and then Hanuman, he was being glorified by Narada. Hanuman, you are the greatest devotee. Hanuman, you got the greatest mercy of the Lord. And then Hanuman said, no. Actually, consider like this. The Lord returned back to His eternal abode, Ayodhya, and I had to stay behind. Yeah. So how am I getting the most mercy of the Lord? I have to stay behind, and now I'm here in this Kim Purusha Varsha, which is one of the nine, one of the islands of Jambudvipa, and he's staying there, always worshipping Lord Ramachandra along with his associates. So in this way, Hanuman pointed out, I'm not the most fortunate. But Lord Ramachandra, Srila Prabhupada said, is almost Krishna. He's the manifestation of the Lord where the Lord displays many pastimes. Whereas in another form, for example, as in the Sringa, for example, he appears basically one pastime. But Lord Ramachandra performs many, many pastimes. Therefore, His mercy is greater. And therefore, Lord Ramachandra is especially very important. He's almost Krishna. But at the same time, it is also said that Lord Ramachandra is giving the perfect example of how a human being should act. And he never deviates from that. Lord Ramachandra is just, in all his action, at every moment, the role model. There's never a moment that we see him acting out of that role of the perfect teacher of Dharma. But If we look at Lord Krishna, Krishna is transcendental to Dharma. Krishna can steal, Krishna can... And when Krishna steals, it's wonderful. Just all glories to the thief. Whereas usually, you know, we are not worshipping the thief so much. But when Krishna is the thief, oh yes, wonderful, wonderful. Whatever Krishna does is glorious. So Krishna comes into this world to show his transcendental pastimes, his pastimes that are not bound by any standards of mundane morality, of mundane conceptions of good and bad. In this world, obviously, we have our conceptions of morality, good and bad. But Krishna is completely transcendental. Like, people may say, well, stealing is not so good, killing is not good, right? But when Krishna kills, very good. It's very good. So, like, well, not everyone agrees with that. Some people read the Krishna book, all the stories about Krishna, and there's one particular pastime which is very graphic. And there it describes how Krishna, when Jarasandha came, he came with an army of millions, and then Krishna and Balaram, they were in the city of Mathura, and the army came around the city of Mathura. Krishna and Balaram came out of the gate, and they started killing the army of Jarasandha, and it's described rivers of blood, and there were like many decapitated heads in that river. These were like rocks in the river, and then there were dead elephants and horses, which were like islands in the river. I mean, it's quite a ghastly scene, and it's all described as wonderful. Some people say horrible, and some people say horrible. So what can we do? But what we understand is that everyone who is killed by Krishna is getting the mercy of being liberated. So it is not just ordinary killing. We can maybe also kill, but we cannot liberate someone from birth and death at the same time. Therefore, the killing of the Supreme Lord is also auspicious. Lord Ramachandra also killed many demons. In fact, he is known as the wielder of weapons. Lord Ramachandra is always acting according to the principles of Dharma, just for fools. Let's look at. I mean, I'll just take something. I don't think I'm going to try and do a chronological presentation this morning, especially because I'll give another lecture this afternoon. So I'm saving this, many stories for the afternoon. In the morning I'm going to be a little more philosophical. Yeah, so those who became the stories, you kind of come back in the afternoon and hear all the stories. So we know that at one point Lord Ramachandra was meant to be crowned as the king. He was the Yuvaraj, the crown prince, and at one point his father was ready to step aside. Although he was a king in great opulence, he was happy to place his son on the throne, and all the arrangements were made, and it was announced But then the younger wife of the king somehow or other became antagonistic. It was because of her maidservant. The maidservant, she came, and while Kaikeyi was resting, and this maidservant had a somewhat strong character, and she just came in and said, like, you are just lying there. She was her nanny, so she could do these things, you know. She was old, she looked at her as a child, so she just chastised her. You're just lying there, you know, while the greatest calamity is about to happen. He, Dasarath, is going to crown Ram as king. Well, isn't it wonderful? Aren't you foolish? Don't you realize, you know, that you'll be out of grace, that your importance will be diminished? Don't you realize? All this kind of envious type of sentiments were being expressed. And then, long ago, Kaikeyi had obtained some boons. She had assisted her husband in a great fight in a chariot against various demons, and Dasarath had fought like anything. She was also on the chariot. Then at one point, there was a problem with the wheel of the chariot. The brake pin of the wheel came out of the axle, and the result was that the wheel was about to come off the axle. Then she just courageously put her finger in the hole and helped the wheel, and that finger somehow or other stayed on there. Don't ask me how. That's a mystery. Don't imitate. But, you know, the wheel stayed on the axle, and she got boons for that. You know, she was given benedictions by her husband, who said yes. Two boons were given. Two. So, she used the boons. She used the two boons. One was that Ram was to be banished to the forest, and the other one was that her son, Bharat, was to be crowned as king. So, yeah, this is the point where I start now, and it's, let me just read them a little. Read a few verses. Yo lokavira samito danurasam mugram sita svayam vara grihitrisatapanitam adaya balaganila iviksha justin sajikritam nripavikrishya brahmanyamaje jidvanurupa gunashila vayam gurupam sita bidhim seyam murasya bidhapadamam margim vrajam brigupatir vyanaya yapparudam darpam mahim akritta yastir arajabijam. O king, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra were wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly, where Mother Sita was to choose her husband, in the midst of the heroes of this world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men, but Lord Ramachandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugarcane. Thus, the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune, who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. While returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramachandra met Parsaram. Although Parsaram was very proud, having rid the earth of the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to be a kshatriya of the royal order. Yasachapasa parivitta pitu ninesam stainasya chape shirasa jagrihi sabarya rajam siyam pranayina surido nivasam Chaktaya Yomanamasunila Mukta Sangha. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramachandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wisher, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. So this moment was the great drama. This was the drama that broke the heart of everyone in Ayodhya. Everyone was eager to see Lord Ramachandra being crowned as king. Everyone was waiting for it. The day before the celebration, they were cleaning the streets, and they were sprinkling the streets with fresh rose water to get a very pleasant scent in the entire city. Many banana trees had been brought in and were decorating the doorposts they put them there. They had pots with scented water. The entire city was being decorated with flags, and everything was ready for a great celebration. And just then, in the middle of this whole festive atmosphere, Kaikeyi, that sinful woman, she had asked for this ghastly boon, and everyone was just brokenhearted. Dasarath, as soon as he heard it, this was his beloved younger wife. He wasn't so much interested in the older one. He was very much favorable to this beautiful younger wife. And now she had bitten him like a snake. It was just too much. Right? He was so overwhelmed, because many thoughts were going through his mind at the same time. He could not even speak. Dasarath had given his word. He had given her a boon. He had given her two boons. He had given in this way his word that whatever she would ask, he would give her. Yes. But now that she asked, and now that she betrayed, and now that she had come to such a low state, Dasarath was ready to break his word. No problem. Although Dasarath, his whole life, was dedicated to Dharma, and Dasarath at any time had kept his word in any condition, now he was ready to break it. Because how could he ever give up his son Ram? How could he ever tolerate banishing him to the forest? No, he would break his word. But how could he break his word? Because if he would break his word, then he would give the wrong example to his son. And how could he do so? How could he do that? That would defeat the whole purpose of being the father of the Supreme Lord. It was his very duty to teach his son by example, because everybody knows children don't do what you say, they do what you do. And therefore, how could he just not act properly? It wasn't possible. Therefore, Dasarath, realizing all this, right, was just heartbroken, and therefore he couldn't speak. He was speechless. He was just in such a state of shock. His mind was racing, trying to look for a way out of the situation, and he couldn't find one. He just couldn't find any solution. He was just locked in, and therefore Dasarath just felt completely hopeless in the situation. Hopeless. Tears started to stream from his eyes. And in this way, speechless, he was just there in Kaikeyi, now on a roll, summoned for Ram. Call Ram right now. Bring him here, she said with a victory in her voice. Yes, now she smelled. She was on top of the situation, and now she was pushing through. Bring him here. And then when Ram was brought before, and everyone who was there in the court was in total anxiety. Oh no, what's going to happen here? This is horrific. Just then, right, Kaikeyi said to Ram, so, you remember that your father has promised me 2 boons. Lord Ramachandra said, yes. Everybody knows how wonderfully you assisted him in battle and how you earned these 2 boons. That is such a glorious thing. And she said, yes. And now I have asked for my 2 boons. Lord Ramachandra said, Oh, you are going to tell me something wonderful. And she said, yes, I have asked your father that you will be banished to the forest for 40 years, and that Bharat will be crowned as the king. Everyone in the assembly was exclaiming, like there were voices, people could not believe it, and they were seeing it happening. But when you see something really terrible happening, then as it's happening, your mind says, no, it's not true. No, this is not true. It's not really happening. No. So everyone was in that mood. No, it's not really happening. But it was. It was. And then everyone was just, after she said it, everyone was just like shocked, no, in a total state of despair. Except Ramachandra. He was totally peaceful. He was totally calm. The first thing he said was, Mother, but why did you use those boons for that? She was his stepmother. Why did you use those boons for that? You should have saved them for a valuable moment when you really needed them. You could have just asked me to go to the forest. I would have gone on your word. And he was totally calm and totally peaceful. It was just too much. It was just like, even made it worse, you know what I mean? People were becoming like more upset to just see how calm he took the whole thing. He just, very cheerful and detached. And then comes the horrific moment that he goes to Sita to say goodbye to Sita. And how can he say goodbye to beautiful Sita? He just gained this beautiful wife, you know, like, and shortly after, he's about to leave her for 14 years. How can you leave a young wife for 14 years? I mean, you know, she'd be old when you come back. it's like, think about it. Think about the whole drama. How could he do this? Everyone is like, here's the perfect couple, you know, the perfect couple, and they had no TV and no movies, so everyone was focused on the beautiful royal couple, you know, just as people are, a couple in the movies, a dream couple, you know, and here's the dream couple, right, and everyone's crying, tears, and the whole kingdom, all the ladies in the kingdom were crying, you know, it's like, it's too much, you know, too much. I mean, like, how can you leave Sita? And Sita said, no. I am your wife. A wife should go wherever the husband goes. Sita, you are a princess. You are a princess. You're used to palaces. You're used to, you know, soft silken cushions and nice beds and, you know, and nice food and fine dresses, Sita. You have no idea what life is like in the forest, you know. I mean, it's not like, it's not for ladies, you know. I mean, it's rough out there. It's like, you know, the elements and so on. I mean, how could you stay there? It will be cold, hot, hard and rough, and there are wild animals. Sita, this is not a place for you. And Sita simply said, wherever my husband will go, I will go. Yeah. And that was it. Well, you know, when a woman makes up her mind, right, then, you know, they make up their mind, you know what I mean? And Sita made up her mind, and there was just no way about it. She wasn't going to have it any different. And he tried to talk her out of it, but Sita, don't worry, I'll be back soon, it won't be long, time will go, just stay here in the palace, you're nicely cared for, you know, my brothers will look after you, my father, everything is fine. Sita said, no way, I'm going with you. Well, that was it. So in this way, Lord Ramachandra left with Sita for the forest. So it's quite wonderful to see how Lord Ramachandra was adhering to the principles of Dharma, because here his dedication to Dharma was being tested. Part of Dharma is that the parents must be respected and are to be treated like worshipable. So he was basically very dedicated to not even his father, but even to his stepmother, who was not even so favorable to his own mother. Yeah. But anyway, he accepted her completely. Yes, she's also my mother, my authority. Worshipable to me, yes. So whatever she says, I will accept, and not begrudgingly, you know, not like, well, okay, you know, you are my mother, right? So according to the rules of Dharma, I must follow your order. So I'll follow them. Don't worry. I'll follow them, you know. But I just want to let you know that how could you steep so low? I mean, you know, it would be tempting, right? To go heroically into the forest, but to, you know, just give her a sneer or two before you go. Just to let her know, you know, that she was off the wall. But no, he never did. He never did that. He treated her completely, completely respectful. Of course, Lord Ramachandra, in this way, is just following Dharma. And that is the whole theme of the Ramayana. How he is just always doing the proper thing. Sometimes it's too much. It's just too much. You know? I mean, come on, you know, break the rules. Right? I mean, for God's sake, break the rules, you know. How can you leave to the forest, you know? Just tell this stepmother, you know, like, I mean, jump in the lake or whatever, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, stuff you and your boots, you know. I ain't going. So, and that's it. And now you know, right? You know, I'm not a puppy dog, you know. Who do you think? I mean, right? No. He just keeps on adhering to Dharma. The worst part comes at the end of the Ramayana. I guess I'm going to repeat myself a little bit this afternoon, because you can't leave out certain details, and so it becomes like a preview of what you're getting here, a taste. The worst part of the whole Ramayana comes at the end. It's too much. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a movie don't look, you know, I mean, really, I don't look, please, you know, I mean, I advise you, skip the end, you know, just switch it off before it comes to the end. Don't watch it. And you won't be able to sleep after this movie. Yeah. It's just too much. It's just absolutely outrageous. Here's Sita, right? She is so dedicated. She gets kidnapped, the whole thing. I mean, she just is tortured while she's kidnapped. She is like, they're trying to bribe her. They're trying every possible thing to make her, you know, Ravana is somehow or other trying to get her to submit to him. You see, there was one complication that Ravana, he had in his earlier years once taken a lady by force, rape. But the complication was that he got cursed, that if he would ever do that again, that he would drop dead, katam hobia, on the spot, all at once, finished. So, therefore, the complication was there that he had to somehow or other get Sita to voluntarily submit. So he worked on it in various ways. Ravana, well-dressed, well-groomed, heroic, powerful, you know, this Ram. So he tried to attract her. He offered her to be his primary queen. He had so many, of course, but you know, number one. He tried like anything. Didn't work. Anyway, finally, a terrible battle. I'm sure in the afternoon we'll get into some details of the battle. An inconceivable battle took place, and then what happened is that finally Sita is regained, believe it or not, and Sita is back, and then Ram says, all right, Sita, so they're being reunited. The happy moment, right? You think, this is the end of the movie, right? They're reunited, happy end, the lion comes on the screen and roars, and the titles, and Ram, you know, plays by, and Sita by, and you think, okay, this is it. No, it goes on. He says, yes, very cool, he's cold. And he says, yes, you can go now. I mean, after everything, after risking his life and everybody's life, after so many got killed, and all the monkey soldiers are watching, he says, what? He says, you can go now. And then, yes, it's again that all-devouring Dharma. And it's too much, because this Dharma is saying that when a woman has stayed in the house of another man overnight, you can't take her back. Anyway, you know, then Sita, to prove her chastity, enters into fire. She steps into the fire. And like, you know. But then, the fire god himself comes out and presents her unharmed out of the fire. So she passes the test of fire. So, okay, you know, what better test can you have? You know what I mean? Come on. She passes the test of fire, so all right. Then Ram accepts her. Then they go to Ayodhya, and it's a big party, and you know, everyone's celebrating and so on, and they're happily united on the throne, and finally, end good, all good. Now the lion can come on the screen, you know, the titles, Ram played by, said, now the movie can end. No. It still doesn't end. God, what a movie is this? Please, let it end. No, it doesn't end. It doesn't. Ram is king, he's on the throne, the whole kingdom is in ecstasy, everyone is happy. But as Vedic kings used to do. They used to disguise themselves and they used to go out into the kingdom to inquire what is going on and to sort of see what lives under the people. So then Ramachandra in disguise was wandering around, and just then he comes across some domestic trouble. Right? The volume was kind of serious, and the husband and wife were screaming at each other. And the husband stands in front of the door. Oh, of course. No, no, you're not coming in. No way. No, no, no. I'm not letting you in. No way. No. No, please, you know, you can't do this to me. Oh, yes, I can. You will see what I will do to you. And a whole drama like this, you know. And then, in the midst of all that, comes up, I am not like Ramachandra. I will not take my wife back after she stayed in the house of another man for one night. I'm not like him. When Ramachandra heard that, his heart was hit by a thunderbolt, and it cracked into 1,000 pieces. Because at that point he knew that now I will have to go back and I'll have to send away Sita. And he did it. I mean, I tell you, this dharma is too much. It's just too much. I mean, you know, how could he? Right? But he did. And she was even pregnant, you know what I mean, to make it worse. Right? And then his sons were born while Sita was in exile and so on, in the ashram of Valmiki. And then after her sons were born, Sita just disappeared into the earth. A crack appeared in the earth, and no more Sita. Honey, who can tolerate this? Why didn't this lion come on the screen? It's too much. It's just too much. Yeah. Anyway, that's in a nutshell the gist of the Ramayana, the underlying theme of the Ramayana, and it's like it's a full color 3D production, you know, like one of these extra long movies. I mean, it's a long sit, the Ramayana, but it's like hair raising, you know, when it comes to the battle and so on. Oh, what a battle. I mean, what a battle. And of course, there is Hanuman, you know. Who needs Spider-Man or Superman when you have Hanuman? So, you know, this afternoon, we will explore the glories of Hanuman, and we will enter deeply into these pastimes. For now, we are just looking at this dharma. Lord Ramachandra, in his causeless mercy, gave an example which doesn't give anyone an inch. There is no excuse when it comes to the example of Ramachandra, which you're supposed to follow. You cannot say like, yeah, but, you know, there are exceptions. There are exceptional circumstances. There are moments that may be in emergencies that you don't need to follow the rules. It doesn't exist in the Ramayana. It doesn't emerge. There's just no emergency that justifies breaking the rules. It's just amazing. It's just totally amazing. And therefore, it's quite amazing that even now, approximately 1 million years after the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, the whole influence of Lord Ramachandra is still so strong. Yeah. In my years when I lived in India, up to 1995, at that time, they made a television series about the Ramayana, and it was big. It was big, big. It was so big that people were buying televisions just to see it. Everyone wanted to see it. The whole nation saw it. When there was a session of parliament going on, they would adjourn it. They'd close the government and watching the Ramayana. When people were on the train during the Ramayana, they would pull the emergency brake, stop the train, and the whole train would get off the train and find a village, and they would find televisions in that village, and they would sit down. And there was, you know, in India there's a lot of power shortage, so they just don't have enough electricity, so oftentimes they turn off the electricity to go for a while, you know, especially when you need light, you know, they at night they turn it off. Candlelight, very romantic candlelight. But when they turned down, in one particular district, they turned down the electricity during the Ramayana, there was a huge group of villagers. They walked to the electric power plant and they burned the whole thing down. So that was the Ramayana. You know, like, serious about this, the Ramayana, right? And everyone was just watching. We also were watching it in the temple, for sure. Everyone was good, the Ramayana. Hanuman flying through the sky. Yeah, so... and it was so big that some politicians smelled, hey, this is good. And they took advantage of it, and they made a political party, and you know, like that was all for Hindu Dharma, and they were they started an agenda that in Ayodhya, in the birthplace of Lord Ramachandra, Muslim invaders had built a mosque and been there for like 300-400 years or something, and the politicians started a program of installing Ram Shilas, a brick for the temple of Ram, which was supposed to be built in Ayodhya. And they went in a chariot. It was just a car, but they called it the chariot, the Rat. They went in a chariot all over, and they had these bricks, and they would give people the bricks. They came to our temple also and said, please, take one of these shilas and worship it in your temple. And they did it all over. And in this way, they grabbed the power and the government. And they became the government. But no one was satisfied with that government. And they broke the mosque, actually, also. And that created a lot of riots. But they became the government. But no one was satisfied with that government, because they were cheating. They were sort of putting Lord Ramachandra in the front, who is the emblem of perfect government. Still, Ram Raja is referring to the rule of Lord Ram. And 1 million years after Lord Ramachandra, people in India are still desiring Ram Raja. They still want a king like Lord Ramachandra, the perfect king. In whose kingdom there was no disease, in whose king no son would die before his father. Because all these things are the result of bad karma. When a son dies before the father, it means there's bad karma. When there's good karma in the kingdom, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. Nowadays, you know, if you ask people, how are you, if you get the real story, you know, It's terrible. This one has a hole in his heart. That one has a worm in his brain. You know? And I mean, everybody. And seriously, there are people that have big worms in their brains. It happens often. And it's like, I checked it with a doctor, and he said, the worm, yeah, when you have a worm in your brain, the worm is actually gradually eating your brain. So it starts with holes, and then you get a hole in your brain, and it's things like, I just can't remember, what was that again? Big ones too, yeah. Anyway, leaving the worm aside, you know, I'll save that for another lecture, or for, I have a picture of it with a PowerPoint to make it more graphic for you. Well, you might look at, you know, the audience usually gets really excited about the picture. So, if you ask people how they are nowadays, everyone's got something, that's for sure. Everyone's diseased, you know, and it's shocking, really, what people have, you know. This one's half blind, that one's half dead, and things like that. It's just sort of how it is. But at the time of Lord Ramachandra, there was no disease at all in the kingdom. So, how amazing it can get when the kings are actually pious, you know. I mean, I remember some time ago, you know, just before Zuma got in power, I did a university program, and some students, I forgot exactly what the question was, but I asked them, like, what would they like to see the most? And someone said, Zuma in the government, you know, then everything will be perfect. I mean, yeah, you know. I mean, I don't want to enter into politics, but like, come on, you know, give us a break. But we cannot even imagine what it's like perfect government. We cannot imagine. We can dream about it. But Lord Ramachandra exactly represented that. Ramraja, perfect government. And therefore, in India today, still, Lord Ramachandra is the most popular. There's no doubt about it. Although now, you know, with the little Krishna movies, I mean, Krishna is making headway. Okay, any questions and comments? Thanks, Mark.
How long after Sita left did Lord Ram still have to stay?
I'd have to look at it. He stayed for quite a while. Yeah, he stayed for quite a while after that. Yeah, he stayed long. Except I'd have to look it up. Someone remembers? But he stayed. See, what happened was that Sita's sons, right, were born, and they grew up. And so Ramachandra had to wait for them to grow up. Then when they were grown up, they were trained by Valmiki, who wrote the Ramayana, and they memorized it. And these sons were going around and reciting the Ramayana. Yeah. And then at the end also comes a little confrontation from, like, well, how could you send her away? How could you send our mother away? So we had to go through all that also. Yeah. So quite some time we tolerated. Right? A moment to be like 12 years or more, right? Obviously. Yeah.
Well, is it true that there was some agreement between Dasharatha and King Kaikeya that actually his the offspring from that daughter would become the mother?
I don't know. If you know, there are so many details to the Ramayana. Can you tell us something?
Because this is the way I understand it. That because Dasharatha is already quite old and had no offspring, so he was advised that you go marry this daughter of King Kaikeya.
Mm-hmm.
So his thing was that only the sons from this. If you're going to marry them, that's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the impetus why she actually asked.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. there was mm-hmm. an agreement between mm-hmm. them.
Mm-hmm. That's it. There are so many deeper and deeper details. And I'm sure you must know many, because Bhakti Chiru Maharaj must tell many of these stories. Yeah. And, I eat the ramyeon once a year. I must admit, for the rest is Chaitanya Charitamrita. But meanwhile, Kaikeyi is really called sinful woman by Dasara. And she's really depicted as I sort of dramatically try to act it up. So that sort of, that story is far in the background. You didn't even hear it. Kaikeyi is just the emblem of betrayal. But there was something. So that's where I became covered over. But so was Kaikeyi. Ultimately, when you get into the leaders of the Lord, you know, then everyone is just a puppet in a transcendental play, all controlled by the will of the Lord, and a staged leela to teach the conditioned souls. But if you make that the purport of everything, then it takes away all the drama and kills the whole story. So, yes.
So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada uses the example of Hanuman being able to leap very far and pick up mountains as an example of how, for instance, on the moon, I was a bit confused about that because he says we didn't know the moon, but he says even the scientists have proven that on different planets there's different gravity forces.
Yeah.
But that's why when Hanuman came here, he could so easily pick up the mountain and leap so far. But I'm just wondering where he came from, and if is he still on Earth planet, or did he go back to where he came from?
Okay, well, you know, Hanuman, it says that his mother was a demigoddess who was cursed. She was a maidservant of Brihaspati, and she was cursed to take her birth on Earth. Once she became influenced by lusty desires for Brihaspati, and for that she was cursed. That if she had such a mentality that she should become a monkey. But then she begged, you know, please, I mean, like, you know, it was... she begged for forgiveness, and then she got a boon that she could, immediately after she had given birth to a son, then she could return to her original position. So, you know, that was it, the boon and the curse. So, when she was finally giving birth to the son, her name was Anjana, he's Anjaneya, also Hanuman is also Anjaneya. Okay? So then, as soon as she'd given birth to the son, then she was ready to go. But Hanuman said, wait a minute, where are you going? No, I'm going, I'm relieved from my curse, I'm going. He said, like, yeah, but you're my mother. And where are you going? I'm hungry. So, you know, it's just the situation. And to get the rest of the story, you've got to come back this afternoon. Yeah. So he did appear on Earth. But he was powerful, and he could go all over the universe, which you will also hear later on. Yes.
Right. once I was hearing Atma Tattva Prabhu speaking about this, and he said there's some Hanuman's origin is with Lord Shiva and Parvati.
Okay, that is part two. That is also there. Actually, that is true. There is a between them under certain conditions. There was a conception. Yes, where Lord Shiva lost salmon, that salmon was caught and kept, and they wondered what to do with that. So then later on, they gave it to Vayu, right? Who, okay, then impregnated. They just gave it as a son, then. They just gave the conception, passed it on, and then it became the son. At least Puranic histories, you know, these itihasas, they just go on and on and on. There's always a story within a story within a story within a story. And there's a curse here and a curse there. So, yeah, it is there. Yeah. And Atma Tattva was like a real specialist on the Ramayana. That was really his thing. He was from South India, and he would go a little bit beyond Valmiki's Ramayana sometimes, leaps. And then he was a little creative. So whatever we read from Atma Tattva is very amazing stories, but we must also be a little careful to make sure that all the details are in line with our tradition. Although we very much appreciate his contribution in the dramatic storytelling, you know. A little detail changes, a little that happens to the best of storytellers.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, Maharaj, if you said that the pastimes are displayed there for the sake of teaching the conditioned souls, for an example, but in the case of Ram Lila, is the example only that this is how you should follow Dharma, or that inevitably, like if you will follow Dharma, that will always end up better than if you didn't follow?
Yes, that's the whole thing. Follow Dharma and everything will be perfect. That's the way to go. And no matter how the material circumstances create situations where it looks really advantageous not to follow Dharma, follow Dharma. Even when everything points, now you should not follow Dharma, follow Dharma. That's basically what the message is. Thank you very much. Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki Jai, Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan Ki Jai.